morning we're going to continue a series of messages that we're calling Summer in the Psalms, and we're going to read another psalm this morning from Psalm 103. It's a familiar psalm, and in the middle of that psalm, we're going to focus on more verses 15 through 17, maybe I'll highlight that when I read through it. It's a psalm written by David, and so let's hear then God's word. You can follow along on the screen. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so great, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. And then starting in verse 15 will be kind of what we're really focusing on, where it says, the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you, his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So far, then, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, 10 years ago this month, four of us were on our way back to Alberta from our son's wedding in Salmon Arm, B.C. And 20 minutes on our way, a pickup truck veered right into our path on the busy Trans-Canada, hitting the front corner of our vehicle and causing us to spin around a couple times on a busy highway. We all survived the collision with minor cuts and bruises, but it also left us with a renewed perspective on the frailty of human life. We had the full realization that if it would have been a second or two later, that it would have been a full head-on collision. And it all happened so fast, I didn't even see it coming. And as I started to think about that, it made me realize that anyone who gets killed in a head-on collision like that has absolutely no chance to change their life around. It was a sobering realization that our lives could have got snuffed out without a moment's notice. Now, if your doctor were to tell you that you have only 6 months or at the most a year to live, how would that affect the way that you would choose to live in the next 6 to 12 months? Would you live your life any different than you do now? Would it affect the way that you deal with your family, your friends, your neighbor, or your fellow church member? Would you talk about different things than what you do now? Would you change the goals or the desires of your life? Would you try harder to change some of those sinful habits? Would it affect the way that you spend your time or your money? You see, sometimes it's good for us to stop, to reflect on the meaning or the purpose of life, even to consider the brevity or the frailty of human life. And that's what we find going on here in Psalm 103, a psalm that's been a real source of inspiration and comfort for God's people throughout the centuries. And it's hard not to feel at least a small shiver along the spine as this psalm rises from the deep places of the psalmist's own soul to the comfort of God's loving embrace. But tucked in the middle of that triumphant psalm of praise to God is a sobering reminder of the shortness of our days and our fragile careers as human beings. The psalmist puts our lives into perspective within the broader vision of God's universal kingdom that's surrounded by hosts of angels who do his bidding. Now, these thought-provoking words of verse 15 and 16 often find their ways into readings at an event like, say, a funeral for good reason. These simple and haunting words express what we already know about ourselves, that human life is brief and will one day even be forgotten. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. The life that begins in our mother's arms and moves on through school amidst the trials of adolescence, on through the years of strength and usefulness in our working years, till we become childishly old and need to be carried again. That life, as seen from its end, can seem also short. Any caregiver who spends time working with seniors receives almost without exception the same answer to an inquiry about their lives. Did it go fast? Did the years go fast in your life? And that question typically touches a sensitive spot. I can't believe how my life is already nearing its end. I still remember the encouraging words of my grade 2 teacher who praised me for my artistic talents. I remember those wonderful Christmas and birthday celebrations with family as if they happened only yesterday. And now I'm old and frail and nearly done. Walter Burkhardt wrote about this when turning 70. He said, "The decline begins at age 30. Isn't that encouraging? The decline begins at age 30. For those of you who are in your early 30s, it's already started, folks. But now, he says, it's only become more transparent and undeniable. Joints ache, tissues dry up, ligaments heal slowly. Things like cabbage or tomatoes now irritate our innards. The flesh that glorified in its strength and quickened in desire is now wasting. Once a month," writes Burkhardt, "the bell tolls for someone I know. The obituary is now required reading." Our lives are like grass, says the psalmist. A blade of grass sprouts and pushes its way through a crowd of young blades. It stands tall with the rest of the crowd. And then one day the lawnmower or the swather cuts it down to size, and it withers and dies. Or like the flower. Once in its place in the flower bed or out in the field, it flourished so brightly and colorful. And so we as human beings flourish as people with roots, as people with growth, color, complexity, and a unique sort of beauty. But now, years later, nobody remembers that. Like grass, like flowers, says the psalmist, their place knows them no more. Each day, people are born. They grow up, and eventually, they die, only to be replaced by the next generation. We don't need to be a deep-thinking philosopher to wonder about the meaning of all this parading and passing of the generations. The psalmist expresses what every thoughtful human being comes to realize. The years move past, taking from us certain treasures, failed opportunities, and the robbing of innocence. And once we hit 40 or 45, those years of midlife crisis, the years roll by increasingly faster. And sometimes that hits home to us in unexpected ways. As I painfully discovered a few years ago while still living in Red Deer, Alberta, we had a full ice rink just behind our backyard, and so I would get out on the ice with my boys to go for a skate, play a little bit of hockey. And then suddenly I realized I had lost my quickness. I had lost my mobility. All I could offer my boys was my bulk as they whizzed their way around me. You visit with some friends or family and that you haven't seen in a while, and you're amazed how their children have grown almost beyond recognition. Yet another reminder of the years that are flying by. Psychologist Carl Jung says a person from birth until about 35 or 40 is busy discovering this world and in some small way conquering it. Anything is possible when we are that young. But at some point, in middle age, you reach the horizon and you look down on the other side. You pass the crest of the hill, fully realizing that life is not forever. And as much as we try to deny the inner conflicts this fleeting passage of time arouses within us, every adult understands it full well. We want our children to grow up, but we ache when they do so. We prefer seniority over senility, status without stiffness of joints, and wisdom without the wrinkles. It doesn't work that way. And so what does it all mean? The passing of the years? Well, consider two options. One answer measures our lives and turns away in despair. This person concludes that life is like a shadow that disappears with the setting of the sun, never to be seen again. We eat, we drink, we die with no hope beyond this life. The other answer begins the same way. The life of mortals is like grass. The wind passes over it, and it is gone. Then this second answer turns a corner in verse 15 through 18. The life of mortals is like grass. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, with those who keep His covenant. In other words, it's a choice between a hopeless prospect ending in death itself or the possibility of trusting in a message given to us by God Himself that life has meaning both for this life and the life to come. That our lives here is a redemptive story of a people who've fallen into sin only for God to come along and to place us back on our feet again through his Son, Jesus Christ. Where God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. And God does this for us for no other reason than his own loving kindness. In other words, our lives only find true meaning when our hearts are rooted in this everlasting love of God, our Heavenly Father. A love that's planted through the generations. A love that's cultivated and delighted in us. A love that worried over us and worked among us in our times of distress. A love that will one day come for us like a faithful garden, transplanting us as trees in a place where leaves will never wither or die. A place where Revelation 22 verse 2 says, where their leaves will be like the healing of the nations. These are lives that gain their meaning by being treasured by God and then being spent to increase this divine pleasure. Lives that actually bless God himself. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. I was reading about some old English cemeteries with the most whimsical epitaphs. Etched into the gravestones were things like, "I told you I was sick." Or, "Here lies John MacDonald. My surgeon was Dr. Anthony Wendell." And in one of those graveyards are a couple of gravestones placed over the bodies of Christians who tried to please the God who first loved them. On one tombstone is carved, "Hosea McInnister. He made grand the name of God." Or another, "Myrtle Hamilton rests here. In his life, he blessed God." Who were these people? What were their joys, fears, or questions of life? Nobody knows. Their place knows them no more. But Hosea McInnister made grand the name of God. Her Myrtle Hamilton blessed God in his life. And God only knows who these men were and who they are for all eternity. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, says Psalm 103, verse 17. God-fearing men and women, people who serve God with a mixture of awe and love, they come to see the connection between the brevity of human life and God's everlasting love. They see these two linked together in a special way. The brevity of life, how quickly it goes. People we care about who move away. The works of our hands become obsolete. Our treasures rust or rot. Family members die. The streets or homes of our youth have changed. And for many of us, our youthfulness in itself is now slipping away. In fact, nothing in this world will ever satisfy our deepest longings, because there's nothing on this earth that will ever really stay. Even we ourselves, we are transient people. The life of mortals is like grass. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. You see, 24 hours a day, we are headed towards death, whether we like it or not. And unless Jesus returns first, someday we will all be gone from this earth. We don't like to think about that. But a time will come when no one will even remember who we were or what we aspired to in our lives. It's a humbling reality, isn't it? and a stockpile of money resulting from a life of hard work, sometimes to the detriment of our families, what will that bring us in the face of death? Our restless attachment to toys and endless pleasures, the stress and selfish ambition that drives us. What's the point, given our short careers and certain death? The brevity of life teaches us, sometimes to our regret, that we have been created for something more, that there's something eternal within us, that we are loved by God so deeply, so securely, that we are treasured by God even when we have made a complete mess of our lives. And that eternal thing within us is the loving kindness of God Himself. This summer's growing season reminds us that we are like the grass of the field, dried up and flattened by things we never saw coming. But the splendor of the grass is that we live and serve in the assurance of the everlasting love of a God who created us to stretch out toward Him, to worship Him, and to serve Him above all else in our lives. And this is the God in whom we find our rest as we number our days. This is the God whose Son has walked the way of rejection and sorrow on this death, on this earth by His death, and by His death and resurrection, who has taken away the sting of death itself. This is the God toward whom we grow, the God who upholds us through those difficult times when we feel all battered and bent. This is the God who will one day come back for the harvest of those who trust in Him for their salvation in His Son Jesus. Unless Jesus' second coming interrupts our lives, every one of us will someday die. Someday we'll all be gone. Someday, nobody in these parts will even know who we were or what we lived for in this life. And you know, that's okay. Because God knows. God knows what we have lived for in this life. God will never forget who we are. From everlasting to everlasting, God will know the fruit of our lives. For those of us who have committed our lives to serving Him in the assurance of His everlasting love for us in His Son Jesus. Which begs the question, what will we focus our lives on in the days or the years that God still allows us to live here on this earth? Will we focus on the trivial pursuits of this world? Or will we pursue those things that will last from everlasting to everlasting? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You just for who You are as our God. We praise You for Your wonderful blessings that You so richly bestow upon us in our lives. We thank You that for most of us, we enjoy the gift of health and strength, that we can enjoy the gift of family and friends, that we can enjoy the gift of comfortable homes and lifestyles. And yet, Heavenly Father, we confess that sometimes in the richness of our self-made securities, we forget that we aren't ultimately in control of our own lives. That someday, like the grass or the flowers of the field, we will be no more. Help us, Lord God, not to be afraid of that reality. May it instead inspire us to cling to the wonderful promise of your love that's from everlasting to everlasting. The gift of your love that removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. For those of us who trust in Jesus as Savior of our lives. Help us, Heavenly Father, to examine the focus, the purpose of our lives by the standards of your word. Help us to focus our lives on those things of eternal value. And we pray that you will use us. Use us to influence the lives of people around us for your kingdom purposes. Use us, Lord God, to point people to Jesus, who alone gives us true hope and meaning for this life and the life to come. In his name we pray. Amen.